You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Don't forget to follow us on our Facebook page, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, on Twitter at RealGilbertACP, and on Instagram, Gilbert Podfried, PODFRIED. You see, it's kind of a pun on the last name. Never mind. This is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host, Frank Santopadre, and this is another episode of Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.
You hesitated.
Yes. Well, I'm wondering if anyone out there can hear what, or it's going to just sound like we're stuck in traffic. Doing this,
I think we solved that problem.
Yes,
actually,
because everyone was complaining.
Once again, if you want better audio,
yes, go to Patreon. You can donate patreon.com/Gilbert.
Right, send money, yes. Send bags
and,
of money.
Yeah, that way I'll get better equipment and a new co-host. God,
I work God. Cheap, buddy.
Okay, so who goes first?
Did you want to say a few words about an actor you left out of
HUD? Yes, yes. I was talking about the Paul Newman movie HUD, and we left out, most importantly, Whit Bissell. Now, Whit Bissell...
Look that one up.
Who he was the mad scientist, and I was a teenage Frankenstein.
Correct. And a fixture in your early act.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to... I couldn't do it right now, because I'd have to remember the order it went in. And one day, we'll have to talk about the actor Frank Overton.
Wow.
Frank Overton...
I think you've stumped me.
Yeah. He was in a bunch of movies. He was in that episode of The Twilight Zone. I think it was called Walking Distance with Gig Young.
Oh, I know that one.
And he plays Gig Young's father.
Oh, that's Frank Overton. Okay.
Frank Overton.
Yeah, now I'm picturing his face. I didn't know his name. Wow.
Yeah.
And what does he have to do with Whit Bissell?
Just one of those actors I liked.
you should be pointed out that you used to do a bit in your act with
I'll
Bissell.
I'll have to remember the whole bit.
I'll do it next week.
I'll do it next week.
Yeah. So you start us off, sir.
Okay. This was a movie, a Jack Lemmon film. And it was called How to Murder Your Wife.
Oh, I love that one. With Verna Lisi?
Yes.
Yes.
Verna Lisi, Casey Adams.
Right.
Who was also known as Max Showalter.
Max Showalter, yes. He's come up a few times on the show.
He was most known for being one of the uncles in 16 Candles with Molly Ringwald.
And speaking of The Twilight Zone, he's in the Billy Mumy episode. He's playing
That's
the piano.
Right.
When what's the name of that episode where he's wishing people into the cornfield?
I think it was called Wishing People into the Cornfield. No.
I'll think of it. But yeah, that's Max Showalter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in, he was also, most importantly, with Lon Chaney Jr. in The Indestructible
Man. Oh, yes. Yes. He turns up in everything. He's in 10, the Blake Edwards comedy.
Oh, that's right.
He's the priest. And he's in all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And I think he's gone now.
Yes.
But why did he change his name?
I think Showalter might have sounded too German or something.
No, he was Casey. Yeah. Acted as Casey Adams.
Adams. Originally, he was cast as Max Showalter, and also in the movie. Oh God. Well, it's Terry Thomas.
Right. Love Terry Thomas.
And, oh, I'm forgetting. I'm getting a mental block on this actor.
Oh, give me a hint.
He's like, you know, I always thought, like, the voice of Homer Simpson.
Really?
Was kind of like him.
What was he in?
Oh, God. He was in How to Murder Your Wife, and That's My Boy with Jerry Lewis.
Oh, my.
Can you look that
let's
up?
Let's look up. Yes. Let's have Dara, our wonderful researcher. How to Murder Your Wife.
Don something.
Don Murray?
No. He used to talk like that.
What's a little Matthau?
Yeah. It's kind of a mixture of Matthau and...
Yeah. Who was the director? Is it Richard Quine? Richard Quine, yeah.
Read the cast.
Jack Lemmon, Fernalisi, Terry Thomas.
Eddie Mayoff.
Mayoff. Okay. I know Eddie Mayoff.
His name was the character actor Eddie Mayoff.
Oh, and Jack Albertson is in it.
Yeah. Oh, Jack Albertson, too. Yeah. I didn't remember him.
And Sidney Blackmer, who I think is in Rosemary's Baby.
Yes.
Right.
And the music is done by Neil Hefti.
Oh, the Batman guy.
Yeah.
Neil Hefti.
Batman guy.
Wow.
And also,
Sure.
Da-da-da.
The Odd Couple theme.
Now, Neil Hefti always had that same beat in most of the songs, but there was something irresistible about Neil Hefti. It's like... And I think the music in this movie's terrific.
The versatility of him that he could compose the Odd Couple theme and the Batman theme.
Oh,
which are such different animals.
Yeah. He was terrific. And so the music here is very upbeat.
I've got to see this again.
And Terry Thomas, of course, is great. Jack Lemmon's great. Eddie Mayoff.
What's the plot? Real quickly.
Jack Lemmon, don't rush me.
Okay.
Don't try to slap me into shape. Now,
it's a 15-minute show.
Okay. Jack Lemmon plays a kind of playboy, swinging playboy cartoonist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a popular cartoon of a secret agent who gets into these adventures, and Jack Lemmon has to act out each one of the comic strips before he does it.
Such a 60s plot.
Oh, my God, And he, by accident, gets married to the beautiful Vernalisi.
Yeah.
And whatever happened
to... You could do worse.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Vernalisi?
She was like a poor man's Gina Lola Brigida.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, again, you know, a lot of these actresses that disappear.
Yeah.
Good film.
Yeah.
I have good memories of it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I haven't seen it in 20 years.
I don't know how audiences now would respond to it because it was of that 60s mentality.
Yeah, almost like a Frank Tashlin kind of a movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Got to track that one down. Who's the actor again? Eddie Mayoff?
Eddie Mayoff.
A little Matthau-ish.
Yeah, there's a little Matthau, a little, I was going to say a little Homer Simpson. When Homer Simpson started...
Oh, right.
It was a Matthau.
Yeah, Castellaneta
imitation.
Was doing Matthau. Yeah.
And then they changed it to that type of voice.
They went a little in the direction of Crazy Guggenheim.
Yes.
Interesting. Hey, Gil, you love making good money, don't you?
No.
Okay, good.
No, I do it all for the art.
Love.
Yes.
The passion.
Yes, and when I make money, I give it to starving nations.
Really?
Yeah, it all goes to charity.
You were so altruistic and big-hearted. Well, here's a cool opportunity in the event you want to make money.
Yes.
And that's driving with Uber, which is the popular smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. Now, your lovely wife, Dara, who produces this show, loves to use Uber. In fact, here she is... to tell a story. Tell us, Dara, about a little testimonial.
Yeah, I was in L.A. with Gilbert, and I use Uber all the time. And I wanted to visit. My sister was living in North Hollywood at the time, and Gilbert and I were in Hollywood. So I wanted to quickly go visit her, and I just used Uber. And it was only $12 to get from Hollywood to North Hollywood. Very easy. Got to visit my nephew for an hour and turn around and go back and be with Gilbert.
Great.
It was a great, easy experience.
I love it.
An easier experience than actually living with Gilbert? That was not an actress, by the way. That was the actual Dara Gottfried. Tell us some of the attributes about Uber, won't you, Gil?
Yes. If you drive with Uber, you can be your own boss. You make great money. It's easy to start. All you need is a car and a license. And if you need flexibility, if you're a parent or a student, you have it with Uber. You could drive between classes. And now it's the prime time to cash in driving with Uber. You'll thank me for telling you how to get paid every week.
So if you're like Darren, you're stuck in Hollywood and you're in a situation in a tight spot, you contact Uber.
So what are you waiting for? You have a car, you have a license, put them both to good use and start earning serious, life-changing money today. Sign up to Drive with Uber. Lily?
Visit drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Drivewithuber.com.
Thank you, Lily. My film, I think, is going to surprise you, but it's got to be one that you know. It's a Lee Marvin. I'm just going to say cast members and see if you come up with it.
Okay.
Lee Marvin, Angie Dickinson, Dean Wormer from Animal House, John Vernon.
Now, was this the one that Mel Gibson
remade?
Right.
He remade it as Payback.
Yes. Was this Point Blank?
Very good.
Yes.
Point Blank.
Yeah.
Is it a movie you know? It's terrific. You're very good.
Yeah. He gets out of prison and he's angry.
Well, yeah, more or less. He and John Vernon, who's his friend, his high school buddy or his college buddy, cons him into doing this heist, this job, and then double-crosses him. And takes his money.
Yes.
And shoots him and leaves him for dead in the closed Alcatraz. They actually shot in Alcatraz only a couple of years after it was shut down. And it's a revenge story. He basically, he's left for dead. They don't show you how the hell he gets off the island.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
should have figured that one out.
Filled with bleeding from severe bullet wounds, how he's able to then swim.
Yeah, it's one little hitch in the film, but you don't mind it because the movie's so great. It's so masterfully directed. It's a film noir with European touches, directed by a Brit, John Borman, with a great cast. John Vernon, who I said from Animal House, Dean Wormer, who plays a great heavy.
Oh, yes.
And always played a scumbag and thinking everything before, even in Animal House.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's why they picked him for that, because of a history of being this hateful guy.
And Angie Dickinson's a great femme fatale. Carol O'Connor shows up. Keenan Wynn, who we talked about on the show.
Keenan Wynn, yeah. Son of Edwin.
Son of the Perfect Fool.
Yes.
Very, very smart. I just found it on, not on Netflix, but on demand on Fios. And I remember seeing it in film school. I took a class in film school with a film critic named Amy Taubin. And she loved this film and showed it to us. And I remembered loving it. I hadn't seen it since the 80s. And it really holds up. And it shifts in time. It's one of those movies where there's flashbacks and there's flash forwards.
So it probably influenced Tarantino.
I think so.
Yeah.
It looks like
one of those films.
I would say if you Google Tarantino, you'll find him, and Point Blank, you'll find him talking about it somewhere. Well, it's funny because while looking up and referencing Michael Clayton, which I talked about last week, I found an interview with Tony Gilroy, and he's talking about Point Blank. So it was just a total coincidence.
Now, what was the movie where Carol O'Connor played like a gangster?
Oh, he played a couple. You know, you're talking about Pierre All in the Family?
Yes.
He's a gangster in this one, but he's really the businessman.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is the one.
He's the business end.
He says you're being very troublesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he gets off a plane and he's the guy with the suitcase full of money. I don't want to give too much away, but he's funny in it. He's actually the comic relief in the film. And it's a pretty dark film without a lot of levity.
And because I remember them talking about it, where that was one of those films where they started to show how the mob was becoming just part of society.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, the mob has his money.
Yeah. So he's like a mobster / businessman, respected businessman.
Carol O'Connor is, yeah, which he keeps saying. He keeps telling Lee Marvin, who wants his $93,000, how naive he is.
Yeah.
That this is not a criminal enterprise. This is just business.
Yeah.
And he's working his way up the ladder to try to get his money back. I'll tell you who turns up in it. We just speaking of the Twilight Zone, Lloyd Bachner. You know this actor?
Wait a second.
And he's in possibly the most famous Twilight Zone episode ever.
Which one?
He's in To Serve Man.
Oh, my God.
He's
yes,
the guy
him.
That gets on
him.
The...
Oh, that's right.
Gets on the saucer.
That's and, right.
Right.
To Serve Man, it's a cookbook.
That's the guy. Lloyd Bachner.
Didn't Lloyd Bachner also pop up in one of the Friday the 13
Oh, I'd have to look
sequels.
That up.
Sequels. I think it was, where he comes to New York.
Jason comes to New York?
Yeah, Jason comes to New York, right. Which was such bullshit.
To see the Rockettes.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like this one scene for about 3 seconds of Jason in Times Square, and the rest of it's on a boat. Which,
you've seen this movie.
Yes.
Okay.
And
you'll watch any horror film, won't you?
Yeah. And then other scenes take place in one of those, like, prop department New York alleyways.
Oh, I see. Yeah, like a New York street.
Yeah.
On the Warner
it
lot.
It would be like, but in an alleyway. They wouldn't even bother trying to make a New York street in that movie. They had an alleyway with like a garbage can, and they always have steam coming up from the ground to hide.
Well, they did that on Seinfeld.
Oh, my God.
They always had steam coming out
on Seinfeld.
On the Radford lot to make it look like.
It looked like September 11th. On Seinfeld.
Right, lots
it was,
of steam.
Yes, yeah. It looked like he was walking through hell. It was just loaded with steam. It's like in those early horror movies where they'd be in England and the fog would be insane.
That's right.
Like, I know it could be fog in England, you know, they've talked about it, but this would be, you couldn't see your feet, like, you couldn't see
well,
in
those
front
Ripper,
of...
Those Ripper films, the Hammer films.
Oh, the Hammer films
so
I
fog.
Hated.
Lots
yes.
Of fog. The fog machine guy was working overtime. So Lloyd Bachner, who's in the famous To Serve Man, I don't know if he's in that Friday the 13th,
yeah.
So look it up. His
yeah.
son, Hart Bachner, became an actor.
Oh,
you know him?
Yes.
He's the slick guy in Die Hard. He's the slickster that's trying to smooth talk his way out of Alan Rickman shoots him.
But
that's the son of
Lloyd
Bachner.
I think Bachner was in Jason Comes to New York. Can you look up Jason Comes to New York?
Oh, researcher.
Dennis.
Oh, Dennis. The high anxiety yeah. reference, too.
That's true.
Oh, Dennis. Jason Comes to New York. Boy, were they out of ideas.
Oh, yes. Well, that's like the Leprechaun in Outer Space.
Are you a fan of the Leprechaun movies?
Oh, the first one I was willing to go with.
Isn't Jennifer Aniston?
Jennifer Aniston's in the first one, which I'm sure she's so proud of.
Of course. I think Tom Hanks was in an early slasher movie, too.
Tom Hanks, yes.
Yeah, one of
yes,
first.
He was in a slasher.
There's no movie called Jason Comes to New York?
Friday the 13th,
something. Well, we'll
Friday
edit.
Friday the 13th.
We'll edit this
comes
part.
To New York.
We'll trim this part. Anyway, the thing about one of the funny things about Point Blank that I found in the research is that Marvin, I hope this is true, Marvin agreed to do the movie and then threw the script out the window.
Oh,
I don't know why. But Payback, the Mel Gibson remake, was supposedly so terrible that some critics said they used the script that Marvin threw out the window.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But it was more based, I think the Gibson remake, I think was more based on the original book. I think it was a story by Donald Westlake, who wrote The Hot Rock. And lots of other stuff. So you're thinking of Lloyd Bachner from something else.
Ah.
A different Jason movie.
See, so I was wrong about the Friday the 13th.
Maybe he's in one of them, and he's just not in the one where they come
maybe
to Manhattan.
Not.
Anyway, Point Blank, with a great cast, Keenan Wynn. Marvin is at his most corrupt and violent. And it's just a really stylish film.
And you're talking about Marvin Kidman.
I'm talking about Marvin Kaplan.
Yeah, Marvin Kaplan.
He's going nuts. Try to get that reference. So the movies are Point Blank.
Oh, Top Cat.
He's around Marvin Kaplan.
We got to get him.
We got to get him.
Got to get him.
I think he's one of the last surviving cast members from It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
He might be the only.
He might be the last one.
He might be the only living
person. Because we lost
person.
Jonathan Winters and Sid Caesar recently.
Milton Berle.
Falk's gone.
Ethel Merman.
Yeah. Oh, Dorothy Provine might be alive.
Oh,
she's in it. We'll look that up.
Arnold Stang's gone.
Yeah, most everybody's gone.
Yeah. Jerry Lewis.
Oh, Jerry's in it. He runs over the hat.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Okay. So there you go. There you go. But Kaplan had a substantial role in it. So Point Blank, and your movie is?
Oh, How to Murder Your Wife.
With the fetching Verna Lisi.
Yes.
And we'll do the research and figure out the mystery of this Lloyd Bachner, Friday the 13th.
Yes.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudeen posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.